boys and girls. It's your boys, Lockdown. We're back for episode, why can I never remember what episode?
17
explanation point. We back. I promise I'm not actually staging that. I really don't know what episode we're on every week. Just sad because we're still in the teens. Anyway, hey, we're here, episode 17. Yeah, we got some stuff. We got some sports to talk about tonight.
UNC just beat down Duke.
Yeah, buddy.
Chris, how much were the tickets for that game?
The cheapest ticket was $2,600, which was just under the cheapest ticket for the Super Bowl.
Good God.
Man. Isn't that crazy?
And a game without Zion Williamson, too.
Was it Nike shoes? Man.
Yeah.
Where
did they play? Did they play it at in Duke?
They played it in Duke. And you know North Carolina won by 16.
Do you know how much money they made at Duke as a school from that game?
And there's still one more game to go this regular season.
Still? Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Yeah,
that's
wild. Guess how much RJ Barrett got of that?
Much.
Nothing.
Matt, got some thoughts on that for us? Spill it out.
Man, God, I hate it. I mean, first of all, there's always a chance for injury, right? Zion goes out there, blows up his shoe, rips through it like the Hulk. You know, he could have tore his ACL. Like, this isn't like a joke. It's funny that he tore through his shoe, but like, he could have seriously gotten hurt.
Honestly, that's what I thought at first. It looked that bad.
Exactly.
First glance.
And so now we're going to have to get into a discussion about guys going straight from high school to the pros so they don't get an injury and, you know, risk a paycheck. And I don't know, man. I just hate college basketball. I think they should be paid. I don't think it's that complicated.
It's a tough topic, though, because I know that it goes into their minds that, okay, well, everybody's equal. And, you know, if we pay these guys, then we're going to have to pay the college football athletes. We've got to pay the college baseball. We got to pay even the gymnastics team or something. You know, these college athletes are going to be like, well, why am I not getting paid? These guys are getting paid, you know? So that topic comes into discussion.
That's true.
Probably why it'll never materialize, too. You know?
But then that's why they should just allow them to come straight out of high school. Like, I completely get your point, and I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least give the athletes a chance to just immediately make money if they can. Like, Zion didn't even need to go to college. He could have been the number one pick right then, coming out of high school.
Yeah, he could be playing for Phoenix right now. Phoenix.
It'd be a lot more fun with him.
It's better than DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton's good. He's pretty good. But it's not very good. Luka's getting a lot of praise this year, and rightly so, because he's the rookie of the year. But DeAndre Ayton's really good.
Yeah, he is.
So it was not a very pretty game last night. North Carolina ended up upsetting Duke by what, like 20 points, something like that?
It was a 16-point win.
16 points. So Zion was announced today that he's day-to-day, so he's going to be all right, thankfully. But as far as the rest of the season goes, and this is a two-part question. We'll do this first part first. Mm-hmm. For Zion, ignoring Duke for a second, for Zion, should he seriously consider sitting out the rest of the season to save for the NBA, or should he contend for his team to go for that title, which they have a very good shot of achieving this year with him on the roster?
I believe it's almost a two-parter for me. I think he ought to, in my opinion, I think he should sit out the regular season. But when it comes tournament time, I think he should just go for it. Go get that national championship and be done. And then go to the NBA. But at least he'll rest up. He'll be ready for the tournament run. He'll be healthy. You know, I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, he should rest. He's going to be the number one pick anyway. He's going to risk injury. But, I mean, how often are you going to be able to go for a national championship with a team like this? So, rest up. Go win that championship. Although, I hope they don't win it.
Yeah, I think it depends on why he went to Duke in the first place. If he went to play be competitive, try to win a title, hell yeah, you stick with it.
Yeah.
Because they can definitely win a title. I mean, again, they have three of the top four draft picks on that team.
Yep.
Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett put up 60 of their 72 points as a team against UNC last night. So, like, they have the talent, especially with Zion on the floor.
Unless he got Jack White out there dropping enough bricks to build an affordable two-bedroom condominium.
They just couldn't. They just, the other guy, everybody else on their team just couldn't shoot the ball last night. Mm-hmm. But if Zion just went to school because he had to, if he just went because he didn't want to go overseas and this was the quickest way to get to the NBA, and he doesn't really care about any of that, to sit out. Like, at the end of the day, it's his decision, and I think whatever he does is going to be right for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because either way, either he wants to compete for a championship or he just wants to go to the NBA. So,
right. And you brought up a good point with Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett bringing up, they had 60 of their 72 points. In general, they have the Duke team has three amazing players who are going to be top five draft picks. Mm-hmm. But who else do they have? You know, they have Trey Jones.
They have Tyus Jones, little brother.
Yeah, he's a good point guard, but they have absolutely no depth. So if one guy goes down like Zion, they have three guys right now, and that's basically it. And they couldn't handle North Carolina. North Carolina matched up really well with them. They could shoot the ball really well. They were able to defend really well every guy. I mean, and Luke May was just dominating in the paint.
Yeah, Duke couldn't do anything in the paint.
So Duke has no size right now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's gonna, if they don't have Zion, I don't know if they're gonna get past the round of 32. To be honest.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
I think RJ and Cam can get him past that point. I love Cam Reddish a lot.
I do too.
I think he could be more aggressive at times, but but again, he plays with Zion and RJ, so sometimes he just can't. You know,
he's that third guy. But I mean, you put him in the NBA, he's a great shooter. He's gonna succeed.
He definitely is. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, and with March Madness, I mean, it's all up in the air when right. March comes around, which is coming up really soon, actually. So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of with Matt. I still think Duke is going to be a heavy contender, but I fully expect Zion to be healthy on the court for his team, especially with a guy like Coach K behind him.
Mm.
He's not, I don't think he's going to be smart about it, especially with his minutes towards the end of the season with a team that's going to be in the tournament. They're going to be ranked high no matter what. And they do have a team to contend for, you know, with teams that are not as high caliber as North Carolina without Zion on the floor. So,
I mean, I just think the weakest link for them without Zion, again, is they don't have enough size to contend with other teams, and they don't have enough depth.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think they're going to go very far without him. If they are going to have him, I think they can easily win the championship. Yeah. They're a much different team.
That's fair. I want to save some other basketball talk for the end of the show, particularly with the NBA, LeBron and Kyrie and the whole squad. We'll save that for the last couple segments. But I want to move very quickly to some football talk. The Steelers will not be tagging Le'Veon Bell. So he and Antonio are out. Their 10 years in Pittsburgh are finished. First question of two. Where are they going to land? What are your picks on where do you think Le'Veon and Antonio Brown, or what are some good matchups and then what are some realistic odds for where do you think they're going to land?
Well, unfortunately, I want to say Le'Veon will go to a winning team.
Right.
But honestly, I think he's going to go to a team like the Jaguars, a team that has a lot of cap space, a team that can pay him a lot of money. The Browns have Bradley Chubb, and he looked phenomenal last year. They're not going to bring him. They're not going to bring him. Nick Chubb, sorry. Bradley Chubb's on the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Chubb, and he's phenomenal. They're not going to bring in Le'Veon, pay all that money for him. You know,
they just got Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and they got Kareem Hunt. Yeah. It'd be cool if a team like the Colts got him, because they have a lot of like really good young defensive players, so they might be able to afford him. But they have a good running back too. I mean, he really came on at the end of last year.
Marlon Mack.
He really played well end of the year in the playoffs. So I don't even really want to. I don't think they even want him, honestly. I think Jacksonville, honestly.
Maybe it's him at the Jets too, possibly.
The Jets, maybe the Bills.
That was what I was thinking.
Yeah, Jets, maybe the Bills.
I was thinking that pair him with. I mean, the Jets aren't going to win right away, but you have give Sam Darnold a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's not only a great great running threat, but he's a great receiving threat out of the backfield, and then maybe draft a wide receiver or something and just give him more weapons. Could That's be a true. Scary team in a couple years.
I like that too.
What about AB? Where do you think Antonio Brown's going to land?
I'm sticking San Francisco.
Nice.
I think they're the only team that's going to be willing to give them the assets. Nice. I don't think any team's going to give them enough assets. Like, you know. So yeah.
That's a good fit.
I agree, but I also have a dark horse team that nobody's really mentioned.
The Broncos?
The Green Bay Packers.
No. The Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. I mean,
you're right, probably.
But if you pair him with Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, so you get like three deep threats who are also good in the slot, and give Russell Wilson another weapon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that could happen. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I think he'd be a good fit.
I mean, that's what they need. I mean, yeah. Doug Baldwin's fantastic, but I don't think he's a one.
No, Tyler Lockett's he's a two.
He's a two, and Lockett's great in the slot.
Lockett's a good slot, yeah. So give Russell Wilson a number one guy.
Yeah. Now, the Seahawks have never been big fans of trading away a bunch of draft picks because they like to develop their own talent that they have.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know if they'd go
think for overall, that. See. Overall, I think he'd fit well there. But again, like you said, it's a matter of what they're going to give up or if they're going to give up anything to get him.
Yeah. I'll give up a fourth-round pick. There you go.
Yeah right. Need like a second too. But the 49ers seem like the most logical pick for him. It just makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have a second question to back off of that though.
Go for it.
Do you guys think the team that Antonio Brown goes to is going to win? It's going to be a great winning team. Unless he goes like the Patriots or something.
I mean, it depends. But
it's definitely going to define him as a player wherever he goes, you know.
Yeah. I think offense. So.
He can't just focus on his stats, though. What's his nickname? Mr. Big Chest? Ooh, Mr. Big Chest.
Big Chest. Ooh.
Win some games, dummy.
So.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yes. So on the flip side, you have the Steelers that are without Le'Veon, they're without Antonio. As far as like the big three, the whatever killer bees, whatever BS nickname they went by, what's next for Pittsburgh? I mean, what's their future looking like now as without their two biggest assets?
Well, you try to win with the young talent they have now. I mean, they got James Conner in the backfield. They got Juju Smith-Schuster.
Any quarterbacks they might have on their depth chart?
Listen, man, they have a quarterback, but I don't think Ben's ready to go yet. I think Josh, again, I will still contend.
Say his name.
I think Josh Dobbs will be the quarterback of their future. I do believe it.
Stick with that episode one prediction, Matt. Stick with it.
I'm still sticking with it. But I don't think Ben's ready to go just yet. I think he'll have one or two more years in the league, and they'll go with the young talent. He'll play with the young talent. I don't think they're going to win. But maybe by that time, they'll be able to build up their defense. And then they can put Josh in there, and they'll have a good defense, and they'll have a good running game, and they'll have a good offensive line, and then he'll be able to succeed that way.
Nice.
So I think that's probably the best course of action for them, honestly.
I mean, they have a lot of young guys, too. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Washington is an up-and-coming wide receiver. And then James Conner and Jalen Samuels, I believe is the other guy, for the running game. So, I mean, they have young guys. They still need to build around them, and they have a good offensive line. Just need to strengthen up that defense. TJ Watt's looking like he's going to be a really good player for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so give Big Ben more weapons. I think he's going to be fine. Steelers will be fine.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that are fine and officially announced 35 minutes ago, the San Diego Padres signed Manny Machado to a 10-year, $300 million contract, which is the biggest contract in the history of American sports. It's wild. 10 years. He has an opt-out after 5 years, which is good in case, you know, the Padres just suck overall after 5 years. I don't know. But so the interesting thing is, I don't know if Bryce Harper declined it or not, but they have enough cap. I mean, there is no cap room in baseball, but they have enough money to afford Bryce Harper, which is interesting. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think Bryce is going to go. That's just interesting. So, like, with all that being said, Manny going to San Diego. Mm-hmm. We talked about Bryce last week. We don't really have to dive that deep into Harper this week, but what are your thoughts on this Harper deal?
Owns the Padres? They have 28 bajillion billion dollars.
Yeah. I know what, some guy chilling on the beach.
Who goes to their games though? Besides, I mean, before Machado came, like, did they have a good
old Chargers fans that are bitter?
I guess. I mean, that's basically the only San Diego team they have now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense now. It's like their team. But
it's true.
Yeah. How do they get all that money?
Realistically, their only big player is Eric Hosmer. Besides that, it's
they have Will Myers, too.
Oh,
Will Myers, yeah. And if you're looking at skill set, and then also, I mean, me and Matt, I know in the past, have talked about this, like when with the old Marlins days, you know, or I'm sorry, the Mets days with Jose Reyes in that lineup, and we used to talk about, like, baseball is not a sport where you sign one guy and everything changes. In basketball, sure. Football, probably. But baseball, you got nine guys in that starting lineup, and two of them are going to be consistent at bats. And then you got another seven, and this is the National League, so you also got a pitcher that's going to go out there and go and over. So I don't know. Like, I'm interested. This maybe it'll bring higher morale to the locker room, but this is still a team that's fighting the Diamondbacks for the cellar in the NL West. So
apparently, though, the Padres have like one of the best farm systems in baseball.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think they have the best one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know whether they want to either trade those guys to get some actual players, or if they want to keep developing those guys. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at least they have like actual assets though that they can either try to grow or trade away. So.
It's a great point. This year, maybe not even next year, I don't think they're ready to make the playoffs. But I mean, this is a good start for them. Getting Machado, you're gonna be able to bring in free agents possibly that want to play with him, or you can make trades with the farm system, like you said, them having so many assets out there. Yeah. Make a trade to get another star. Build. I mean, I don't think their pitching is all that great anyway, so I don't think that can really get them to the next level. So wait a couple of years, and I think they might start kicking it up a notch and playing really well. But it's a tough division too. You got the Dodgers in there, you got the Rockies. The Diamondbacks are kind of right now. The Giants, I mean, they have the talent, but I don't know. Bruce Bochy's going to retire.
They got a 30-year-old veteran, you know, for the league, Evan Longoria, third. You know,
yeah,
he's looking to
They got Evan Longoria.
They have Andrew McCutchen there too.
I think we were like six when he debuted in the league or something, but I mean,
but
he used to be so good.
He was the best for Tampa, dog.
Oh man,
yeah, he was.
This were the days.
But I mean,
the Padres are a young team. They're up and coming. It's just gonna take a few years for them to actually make it to the playoffs and start, you know, really succeeding. But they got a promising lineup. I like it.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that's
We didn't mention this. There are still two free agents out there, some big ones.
Isn't Gio Gonzalez still available?
I don't know. But the two that I'm thinking of are Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel. Two guys that have yet to be signed. And I don't know. I mean, the fact that they haven't been signed yet and Bryce Harper hasn't been signed yet, is that good for baseball? I don't think so. Yeah.
The Padres should go out and get one of those two guys, though.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I think their best bet is to go after Craig Kimbrel. I can see him going to San Diego.
And I mean, we keep hearing, oh, the Phillies are going to get somebody. They're interested in somebody. Well, just do something.
They made an announcement today that, like, we're still after Bryce, and Bryce already said, nah, dog. Like, I'm not going to Philly. Like, I've told you guys multiple times,
the White Sox
I'm
are
not going to
too.
Philly.
But it's like, the Phillies keep saying, okay, we're going to sign somebody like that. But are you really going to sign somebody like that? Like,
I just have this weird feeling. Like, Bryce, he's not going to go back to the Washington because he's already made – if he keeps his integrity, he won't go back to Washington because he already said so much about how he's not going back. But Chicago and Washington both gave him, like, almost max contracts, which at this point, it's like, bro, baseball starts tomorrow. Like, they start playing baseball tomorrow. You need to do something. Like, you need to say yes to somebody because there's at least three or four teams that have put offers on the table and you keep saying no. So
guys, I'm telling you, he's waiting for like that 10-year, $300+ million contract from the Yankees. I'm telling you.
$101 million is probably what he's waiting for.
That's exactly. He's waiting for
300.1.
The Phillies can offer it. The White Sox can offer it. It's like, whatever. As soon as the Yankees offer that, he's going to New York.
Yeah.
But if they don't offer him that, then I don't know what he's going to do. It'll be interesting to see.
Maybe he signs like a 1 year with Washington for all we know.
Oh, God, no.
You know, the fans would be like, we're happy to have you, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go for another great first half of the season and then a second half that we're competing with, like, the Marlins for fourth. Like, so
I mean, if he can't sign somewhere long term and he can't make a decision, just sign short term or something. I mean, you're going to have to deal with what Kevin Durant deals with, but.
So then, like, all this is happening and people still question why Kyler chose football. like, come on, guys. Like, it's pretty obvious at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But hey, I want to try something. I want to try a new segment that I have in my notes. I don't know how long it's going to last because this probably won't be a weekly thing. It's time for Kicks and Punches with Maddie Wins. Kicks and Punches with Maddie Wins. We don't have any music to segue us into that, but hey,
we should have had a song.
We should have had a song. Hey, welcome to Kicks and Punches with Maddie Wins, where Matt talks about kicks and punches.
Yeah.
And I make my couple remarks and Chris waits idly by. No. Hey, really quick. So according to the Hollywood Reporter, Chris Hemsworth will star as Hulk Hogan in a biopic about the wrestler's life.
Yeah.
Quick notes. The Hangover director Todd Phillips will direct, and Bradley Cooper is also involved. Maddie Wins, what are your thoughts?
I love this so much. I'm so excited, guys. It's going to be the greatest, what is it, biopic? It's going to be the greatest movie of all time. Bohemian Rhapsody, get out of here. Bad movie. So excited for this movie. It's going to be great.
I tell you what, though, this movie, I mean, negativity and Hulkamania, they're two things that don't go together. So.
That was pretty good, Chris.
I just want the listeners to know I felt a little bad, like, dang, Chris hasn't watched wrestling like me and Matt have our whole lives. Well, not anymore, but as kids. So I'm like, Chris, if you just want to pick a Hulk Hogan catchphrase and just say it at some point during this conversation, that'd be great. That was a good one, man. That's a good pick. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Zach.
Go for it.
UFC, what is it for the interim middleweight title? Mm-hmm. It's Kelvin Gastelum versus Israel Adesanya.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got? I mean, I got my boy Kelvin. That's my dog, my favorite fighter of all time.
So this is interesting because for those of you that keep up with UFC, Kelvin has gone full heel, and he did it in the most seamless way by a fighter, Robert Whittaker, right, getting injured from
he had a hernia, but like his colon exploded out of his stomach.
Right, so a really serious issue.
Yeah.
And it was you know, he paid his respects and this is at like noon on Saturday, like hours before the card started. And he paid his respects, his camp paid respects. And then around 6 o'clock, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings and I read this. 7 o'clock, around that time, Kelvin came out and said, well, I mean, I've been dealing with, I forgot what injury it was, but I've been dealing with stuff all week, but that's not going to hold me back from the octagon. And then he continues to take the title of, who was it? Another fighter's title, and walked around into his seat in the arena carrying said title, saying, and new, I'm the champ because Rob didn't show up. Dana White obviously shot that down. I was really mad at first. I'm like, oh, this is just bull crap. But now I'm completely on board. That was the most seamless heel mood, a move that WWE will never see ever. That was incredible. So my heart of hearts, if this is obviously UFC is not stage written. If it was, you got to give Kelvin this win. So that's why I think Kelvin's going to go out there and be like, this is, I look at all the crap I said. I got to go out there and win. And that's also me saying, I don't know anything about Israel. So it's like, I don't know how it matches up well, but I really want to see Kelvin win that fight just because he's like, listen, when you change your persona like that, when you, or when you commit to it that well, you got to go out there and prove it. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Awesome. And then one more thing, WWE news, Roman Reigns coming back on Monday to talk about his leukemia. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's actually past it or if he's still dealing with it, but that's good news. The fact that he's at least going back on the show makes me think that maybe he's coming back, but we'll see.
And that's good for the company, because as much as everyone wants to roast him, like, he has, and I haven't watched the product in a while, but I'm hearing that, I'll definitely tune in Monday night. But it's good for the company, because as much as people want to boo him and you know, give him all the jeers they can think of, he's still a huge part to the story, and he's progressed a lot as a character as well as a wrestler in the ring. So that's really big news for the company. I'm excited to hear that.
People don't like him, but the show has sucked since he left. Big time. It's really bad. They brought in a bunch of guys up from NXT, and it's cool, but like, nobody could fill his role on the show.
Of course.
Yeah. So now it's just fat Brock Lesnar dominating everybody, and it's really stupid.
Nice.
I don't know much about wrestling.
Say it.
But the best wrestler of all time? Biggie Langston.
Yeah, my boy.
Ooh, pretty. Doing your research.
I remember that name. It's the only one I remember.
All right, Chris. I see you. We see you.
Or Kimbo Slice. Is he a wrestler?
He's dead.
Oh, no. Chris. Hey, that was
I apologize.
That was about as bad as Dada missing Kimbo than getting knocked out by himself.
That was great.
I don't know anything about wrestling, everybody. I'm sorry. I had no idea.
That in the show. We're not taking that out. That was an all-time TLP moment. So, segment of, by the way, Kicks and Punches is officially an official segment of the Knockdown podcast. Thanks, Chris.
Jokes and stuff, yeah.
Or, you know, talk about dead wrestlers. So George St. Pierre officially announced his retirement from MMA today at a press conference in Montreal. He had hoped to secure a super fight with Khabib, can't pronounce his last name. Once that didn't materialize, it was time he decided to walk away. So I ran a poll on Twitter asking if GSP should be included in the GOAT conversations, the greatest of all time. We had 10 responses, and 87% said yes. But we got an interesting reply from a very old friend of all of ours, and his name is Michael Dickens. Say hi to Michael, everybody.
Michael.
What's up,
bud?
An avid listener to the show, I hope. So he said, for his division, yes, but for he should be included as the greatest of all time. But pound for pound, all time, as much of a disappointment he's been the past years outside of the octagon, it's John Jones' world, and everyone else is just living in it, and it's not even close. So with that comment being said, and the original question being said, should GSP be included in the GOAT conversation?
He should be included in the GOAT conversation. To say that he's far and away the GOAT definitively is hard to say. And this is one thing I wanted to get into about the legacy of either players or sports teams. When we look back on it, what team is going to be more fondly remembered? The Celtics dynasty, the Heat dynasty, or the Warriors dynasty that ruined the sport, right? What's going to be more fondly remembered? Anderson Silva's reign, joking on dudes, ducking, diving, John Jones, like showing like this incredible athleticism everywhere in jiu-jitsu and striking and on the ground, or GSP laying on people. GSP is one of the best of all time, and that I'm not going to take away from him just because he did it in a way that was incredibly boring, dull, unimaginative, and hurt the sport. Doesn't mean he's not a GOAT. Doesn't mean he's not one of the GOATs. But for me, Anderson Silva and John Jones are both top GSP because their legacy is so much greater, because they actually draw emotion out of people, which is what you watch sports for. You know, you watch sports to be entertained, but you watch sports to emotionally connect to either you want to cheer for somebody, you want to boo for somebody. And Anderson Silva and John Jones personify that at the greatest level. And that's why they're the GOATs. Just like Tom Brady, just like Michael Jordan, and just like LeBron James. That's what they do. That's what GOATs do. But GSP doesn't do that. He's just a good wrestler. He's great. But
fair. Yeah.
He doesn't, he didn't captivate the way that Anderson Silva and John Jones did.
That's a fair point, because his final stat line, if we want to talk about that, he's a 3-time UFC welterweight champ. He never left the division. He stayed in welterweight. 26-2 record. So everyone on, you know, social media is going out saying he's a legend.
Yeah,
he is. But that's a really great point you made, that, you know, GSP, he wasn't around to, you know, beat around the bushes. He just got the job done. And I think he's going to get a lot of admiration for that. And he's not looking. I mean, he was a coach of Ultimate Fighter for a season, right?
I'm sure. I don't remember.
Forgot who his opponent was.
I don't know who remembers what GSP did.
Exactly. So
even his fights.
I remember it was a good season, but there was nothing captivating about it. Which a lot of, you know, people could be like, oh, it's about the final stat line, but it's also about how, like you said, how memorable was this fighter or athlete. So that's a great point by Matt and by Michael. Thanks for chiming in, Michael.
But I don't want to get it twisted. People think I hate GSP.
Oh, of course,
I have him number 3 all time.
Right.
Behind John and Anderson Silva. So like, I don't think I'm hating on GSP. He's one of the best to ever do it. So yeah, definitely.
So So I think that wraps up Kicks and Punches, which is, Matt, thanks, Chris. We are definitely keeping this segment around.
I had to make it lively and fun somehow, some way. So. Hopefully I did my part.
Oh, man. Who's he going to talk about next week? Hey, all right. Let's get back into the meat and potatoes of TLP. LeBron James, he is activated, or I'm sorry, quote, activated playoff mode, end quote, as the Lakers sit in 10th place in the Western Conference. Boys, is this for show? What is this?
I don't think so.
The league better watch out. The Lakers are finishing like 11th in the West. Let's get it. Look, he can say whatever he wants. I don't think the Lakers are talented enough. LeBron's like 34. I don't know if he's really recovered from that injury he had earlier in the year. I think the Kings are going to stay in the playoffs. And I think the Kings are going to hit the 8th seed over the Lakers.
And the Clippers too?
We'll see. I mean, they might be able to pass the Clippers up, but
It's going to be one of those three teams that get to the 8th spot most likely.
Yeah. Well, who's
two
ninth?
LA teams?
Who's ninth?
The Kings.
And then who's seventh?
Seventh, I think the Jazz.
Because realistically, the Kings could just get the 8th spot, and then both the Lakers and the Clippers could fall out.
It's the Spurs right now. Actually, the Spurs and Jazz are tied for the 6th seed.
So they're 6 and 7, and then...
And then Clippers are 8, Kings 9, Lakers 11, or 10.
10, yeah. I have it's staying pretty similar to that, but I just have the Kings passing the Clippers.
I would agree to that.
So we've talked about why the Lakers are overall just not that great of a basketball team. So I don't want to dive back into that again, because this is not the roast LA podcast as much as I want it to be. So like LeBron's coming out, and it's funny, I actually had a conversation with a coworker about this topic, that, you know, LeBron, he's a different athlete. We had the Michael Jordan and LeBron James debate, where they were saying LeBron's definitely the best of all time, and I disagreed 100%, because I'm like, well, LeBron shows up in the regular or postseason, not so much in the regular season. That's why I've always put, you know, Jordan and James are always right up there. That's kind of how the conversation got started. But we made a comment saying James really only shows up in the postseason when he needs to. So he's saying it right as the second half of the season starts, or post All-Star break of the season starts, which I'm glad he's being real that this isn't it. For one, he joined a conference that is stacked. There's so many good teams in the West. Maybe he's just realizing how much this team actually needs him, and that the chances of having a LeBron-less NBA Finals for the first time in, oh my goodness, how long?
8 years.
8 years, something like that.
I mean, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. Like, they're not beating the Warriors.
Do you think they're going to make the playoffs in general?
I mean, they could. Again, when I list teams, I think the Kings are getting in over the Lakers. No. I wouldn't be shocked if LeBron goes God mode like he always does and gets them in the 8 or 7 seed. But they're not beating the Warriors. They're not beating the Nuggets. And they're not beating the Thunder. So it doesn't matter. It, realistically, they should lose so they can get a better draft pick. And then bundle that draft pick with, like, Ingram and Ball to get somebody. Which I want to talk about because I got notes right here that
Oh, my goodness. Look at those notes.
The Lakers have some big moves this offseason. And before we get into anything else, one, they need to keep Kyle Kuzma. They do not need to let this guy go. He's got trade value, but he is so good.
He's their second best player.
He's the second best player. He's an incredible scorer, and he fits with LeBron perfectly. Don't get rid of Kyle Kuzma. They've got to get Bradley Beal also from Washington. That's my go-to of this offseason. Trade that first-round pick, trade Brandon Ingram, maybe something else, but you got to get Bradley Beal. They need his shooting, and they need his playmaking, especially when LeBron's on the bench.
I like it, yeah.
And then if they can, give Kimba a max contract this offseason. If he stays in Charlotte, then we know what he's about. We know he's about money. He doesn't care about winning. You know what I mean? If Jordan somehow convinces Kimba to stay, it'll be the best move by an owner in the history of the NBA, because Charlotte is a garbage franchise. They had Jeremy Lin and Nick Batum, and they signed Nick Batum to like a 3-year, $60 million contract and let Jeremy Lin walk. So frustrating. But Kimba should leave if he wants to win, and going to LA to play with LeBron, Kyle Kuzma, and hopefully at that point Bradley Beal would be pretty stacked. And I think the team would be competitive and have a chance to be, you know, win out in the West.
Do you think they'll eventually get Anthony Davis?
Better than Magic Johnson, yo. They shouldn't. He doesn't fit with LeBron.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I agree.
Chris Bosh had to become a spot-up shooter because he didn't work with LeBron. Yeah. Like, I understand people are like, Anthony Davis is so good, it doesn't matter. In the West, it kind of matters.
It does.
Like, in the East, probably not. But in the West, it matters.
Yep.
Order 66.
This is an entirely different situation for LeBron than he's ever had to deal with. He's never been in the West. He's never been on this bad of a team, especially entering the All-Star break.
Well, his first year on the Cavs, I would say, was probably this bad.
They were bad. And also factoring in the fact, like, he missed, what, 17 games so far this year? Something like that? Yeah. So, I mean,
17 or
18. If he actually played, they would probably be, like, the 7th seed right now. But looking at the standings, I don't see him getting past San Antonio. I don't see him getting past Utah. And I think Sacramento, like you said, Matt, is going to be the team that gets in there with the 8th spot over the Clippers and the Lakers. But, I mean, it's so hard to doubt LeBron. I mean,
maybe Utah falls out of there too. You know, they haven't played fantastic basketball. I think the Spurs are set. I love Rudy Gay. Yeah, I think he's been playing really well this year. And then, of course, they got DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge, who are playing well. So.
Yeah, they're a solid team.
Yeah, but I don't see them fall. But the Jazz, man, they've been struggling. All they really have is Rudy Gay and Donovan Mitchell. And when Donovan Mitchell plays...
Yeah. Rudy Gay?
Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles. And when Rudy Gobert plays... And, I'm sorry, when
Ricky
Donovan
Rubio
Mitchell...
pretty good, too.
Yeah, but all he does is pass.
He's actually developed a good jump shot.
All right, that's
if you ever watch him... Yeah.
I haven't watched too much of the Jazz game this year, I'm going to be honest. I just seen the highlights.
I mean... LeBron, he has to activate playoff mode. I mean, I don't blame him for saying that, because I mean, the only chance of them actually going far is he's got to start now. But it's a different season for him. He's not been the same. You know, he's probably not 100%. I wouldn't think he's probably 75 or 80.
Did you see LeBron filming Space Jam 2 this summer?
The Monstars. That's what they need.
It's like LeBron turned playoff mode on. Yeah, also, at the end of the year, whatever happens, I'm going to film Space Jam 2. Get ready for that.
Homie's so locked in La La Land, it doesn't even matter. Like,
he cares about winning anymore. He's like, he only won 3 championships. Like,
he just wanted to play for the Lakers. That's it.
Yeah, he has the greatest ring in NBA history that's ever been won. Like, there's no better story. There's no better ring in the history of the
game. 3-1.
3-1. So,
he's set financially and on a glory basis in the NBA for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and he's still young, so, like, go film some movies, dude.
Why not?
So at the end of the day, it'd be hard to envision them not in the playoffs because LeBron's always there. But they got a slim chance this year. It might be the first time we see it.
Can't friggin' wait.
Watch out for the Kings. Even if the Lakers made the playoffs.
I mean, we're going to obviously wait multiple weeks until we talk about playoff talk. But I still think that's going to be a team. The Sacramento Kings are going to be a team that we're going to be like, we told you. We told you. Watch out.
Lakers aren't getting past the first round, even if they make it.
It's going to be awesome.
They're not getting past it. Sorry.
Hey, let's move over to the Eastern Conference in a conversation I really don't want to have. Kyrie Irving was seen talking to Anthony Davis about, quote, in a false lip reading, two max contracts was what apparently Kyrie said to Anthony Davis. I mean, I don't really have a question to ask here because I'm so frustrated about Kyrie Irving as a whole. I know a couple weeks ago I said, oh, we expected this when he came to Boston, and we did. But this is getting ridiculous. Am I wrong here? Like, this is
was it Anthony Davis or was it Kevin Durant?
I
thought it was Kevin Durant.
I know
Kevin
he had.
Durant. Yeah.
Like, he did have another conversation with Anthony Davis. I know that. Okay. But so he, in an interview. Yeah, you're right. It was Kevin Durant, but I know he was also talking to Anthony Davis. And during like on side court or whatever. But yes, that quote was from Kevin Durant. So Kyrie on the video with Durant, which you know the one that I mistook where he said two max contracts, said, "It's a video of me and one of my best friends talking." And then it turns out to be a decision of free agent market or meet of a free agency meeting. Do you get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about that. That's what disconnects me from all this shit. More Kyrie on that video. He says, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. He's a weird talker. It doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bullshit like that of just fictitious putting things on what we're talking about. It's just, it's crazy. So here,
what language is that?
Apparently English. I've got a question. Should Kyrie just stop talking in general?
Kyrie Irving is delusional.
He is delusional. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. His parents are probably idiots too.
He should stop talking. I'm sick of him whining about the media. Like, just go out there and play basketball, man. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What did he say? Like, it doesn't make it fun or doesn't make it entertaining or something like that?
This stuff doesn't make the league fun.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? It makes it so much more fun.
Yeah, it does.
Imagining Kyrie and Kevin over in New York playing for the Knickerbockers, it'd be hilarious.
And it'd probably be so fun to watch their careers fall apart in New York.
Exactly.
And you'd think he'd know by now that wherever he is, there's going to be a camera right there just looking right at him.
Yeah.
If you're gonna talk to KD and you don't want anybody to know, go do it in the locker room. Go do it. I don't know, in a private setting.
Here's the thing. He also compares himself to, like, LeBron in terms of being a leader. But then he gets mad at the media for treating him like a celebrity. You can't have it both ways, man.
Yeah.
Either want to be compared to LeBron and take everything that comes with, or just be like, all I do is play basketball.
Like, either make up your mind.
One or two routes, yeah. Make up your mind, dude.
I'm so over it.
I'm over Kyrie.
I'm just like, bro, like, bring me a title. Bring me a pennant. I don't care. Just do something for the city of Boston, and we'll shake hands when this thing is over. That's where I'm at with him right now. Like,
hey, Zach, I hate to break it to you, but they're not beating the Bucks. So
we play them tonight too. Yeah,
we'll see about that. But also, Joel Embiid's day to day right now. Hurt his knee.
I think this is the. Like, even with that being said, though, this is kind of the point in the season where everyone wants to say the playoff push is now. It's time to start pushing for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But with a team like the 76ers, that is definitely going to make the postseason. And the teams like, I don't know, like the Celtics. The Celtics, they're going to have their coasting moments. The 76ers are going to have their coasting moments. The Raptors and all these guys. Like, with Embiid day-to-day, I'm not even really that concerned for Philly. Like, you know what? Good for him. Like, he probably should be sitting out day to day. The Eastern Conference is going to be ridiculous this year. Like,
Wait for the 4-5 matchup when that comes around. Because like, no matter what, that's going to be amazing. It could be Boston, Philly. That's what it is right now if it started today. Dude, that series, or Indiana could be in there.
Yeah. That series almost killed me last year. That was like the second round. I'm not looking forward to May.
And they're so much better this year.
I know, bro.
Hey, watch out for Brooklyn. Brooklyn would play
Brooklyn
Indiana
too. Yeah, yeah.
What seed are they at right now?
They're at six.
See,
dude,
if
they're sneaky.
I think they could beat the Pacers.
I think they could beat Boston, if we're being real.
I think.
Like if they jump to
D'Angelo Russell plays like he is. And Caris LeVert's healthy now?
Yeah, Caris LeVert's coming back, so. Yeah. We'll see. They're fun, though. They're a lot of fun to watch. I love that team.
Yeah, we'll see what they're like in the playoffs. We haven't seen it yet. But, yeah. Joe Harris, who thought he was going to win the three-point contest?
He's money, dude.
I didn't realize how good of a shooter he was.
Yeah.
He had like one of the sweetest strokes there in the whole contest.
Yeah.
It was just back rim every single time. It was so nice.
Did you see the deal that the bet that Steph and Seth made?
No.
Steph Curry is an idiot. They made a bet that whoever beat, you know, whichever brother beat the other one would have to pay for family tickets to all of their games against each other for the rest of their careers.
The careers?
Yeah. And I'm like, Seth, you barely made any money, you idiot. Why would you bet that?
Wow. Dumb.
I hope Steph is just like, I'm just joshing. Never mind, dude.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Especially when you, like, if you were like, oh, bro, like, buy me a burger after this, Steph would be like, all right, whatever. But, like, with that, Steph's like, oh, shoot, I actually want to win this thing now. Like, you can't do that, man. Like, what are you doing? Come on.
Oh, man, Steph Curry's going to be, like, 32 years old. He's going to be poor. He's going to be living on, like, food stamps. And Steph's going to be like, man, you got to pay for those tickets, man.
Come on, Steph. Be the higher powered Christian in that situation. What would Jesus do? You know?
Have we ever seen, though, in a 3-point contest or in general, a higher arcing jump shot than Dirk Nowitzki? I mean, he shoots it like 30 feet in the air before it actually goes down.
Well, yeah. What he does, it's man. It's
crazy. I mean, I knew he had a high arcing jump shot, but it just seemed like it was over exaggerated.
I was also watching videos of people before Luka Doncic was drafted.
Uh-huh.
Skip Bayless was directly comparing him to Dirk Nowitzki, like in terms of their skill set and their ability to play the power forward position. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's not what? Huh?
I don't know if he said that because he just wanted to look like he was dumb, or maybe he is. I don't know.
I have no idea. He's so I was like, did I just mishear him say that? And then I went back and he was directly comparing, saying that he didn't have the skill set to play the four like Dirk does. And I was like,
I mean,
he's not a power forward.
Luka, I mean, he's a point guard, but he's pretty big. He's a big size point guard. I mean, he's like what? He's like 6 foot six or 6'5". I don't know. But he's not a power forward.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
Dummy.
That's an exhausting take. Like, that physically wears you out even listening to that.
I know, right?
I don't know. Like, I mean, is there even anything else going on in the NBA right now? I mean, the season, second half is back tonight.
LeBron has a new show.
Oh, that's right.
He has a new show debuting called The Shop. And Anthony Davis and Antonio Brown are joining his show.
We get some cross-league tampering.
Is it tampering? I think probably. It's tampering.
Anthony Davis is on his TV show?
Yes.
Yeah, bro.
He will appear on HBO's The Shop with LeBron James.
LeBron.
On March 1st, including Antonio Brown. How is that not tampering?
It's getting obvious at this point, man.
We need to cut it right now and then put the video of Giannis saying, isn't that tampering? Right, part of the podcast.
Isn't that tampering?
No, that's ridiculous. Why is this even allowed? Oh my, this is so dumb.
Because LeBron runs the NBA, man. You see him with Magic Johnson up in the corridors.
Tampering doesn't matter. Like Magic Johnson's been fined for tampering like 3 times. He doesn't care.
Probably more.
Yeah, Adam Silver's just like, yeah. I mean, it's just normal now. Yeah,
Simmons is like, I'm gonna go talk to Magic Johnson about being a point guard. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Homie, you're talking money. Like, don't even, bro. Just be real. Like, show some integrity.
Go talk to Jason Kidd or something. Like, makes no sense.
I don't know. So that'll be, I mean, I'll watch that episode. I just want to hear what.
It's the shot for a reason.
Antonio Brown will be, you know, Antonio Brown will be just like a BS conversation about, oh, where are you going next, bro? But I think Anthony Davis will be more interesting because I have this feeling they'll talk about basketball like twice and the rest will be like bro moments of just like, bro, look at our friendship. Look how good friends we are, bro. Like, imagine this on a basketball court. Like, alley. Like, shut up.
Why are they doing it in the regular season, though? That's what kind of
because is
peculiar.
Because LeBron filmed this before playoff mode. So, probably.
Also, the Pelicans aren't a playoff team. So, like, you know, who cares, really?
Of course. Look, AD's not doing anything. He's on timeout, probably.
I mean, they're both not playoff teams. So,
did you see the Pelicans are talking to the NBA right now about like maybe calming down about being fined for benching Anthony Davis? Because they want to send him home, but they don't want to pay. Like, I think it's like $2.5 million or something. If they do,
just come out there and be honest. Like, with a report, I want a full fledged report of Anthony Davis was being naughty, so he's on timeout. Like, just be real. That's what you're doing here.
That's what happened to Jarrett Smith.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, same thing.
At least this is like,
why are the Pelicans getting fined and the Cavs aren't? They're doing the same thing.
Probably because the NBA hated J.R. Smith.
Why should it matter with how good they are, you know? Yeah. Anthony Davis is so much better, but treat everybody the same.
Right. If you want to make that point, bringing it back to the beginning of the pod, if you want to make that point about, you know, NCAA athletes,
mm-hmm.
you know, about having to pay everybody, then you have to treat every single person in professional sports the same way too.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, especially from a commissioner standpoint, you can't sit there and give people like different reasonings because of their star or not. Like, that's stupid.
Exactly.
It's dumb.
Yep.
I don't know, but anything else, boys?
Let's see.
Matt, I'm impressed with your notes, by the way. I'm really impressed with your notes. Good job.
Yeah, and you guys should really be. We'll be featuring a video that Matt made about.
Oh, that's right. We'll put it on
top four underrated free agents in the NBA. It's a definite must watch. Definitely check it out. Like it, share it.
Yeah.
Think it's awesome because it is awesome.
What you got, Matt?
Nothing much. I just want to say that I think the Raptors made a big move. They picked up Jeremy Lin from the buyout market, and I was watching. I was watching how the way he played with the Raptors, and I think he's going to help them a lot off the bench. Ooh. They're going to need a guy like that in playoff time, especially if Kyle Lowry does what he usually does in the playoffs and struggles. And Jeremy Lin's a great guy to come off the bench, get you some points.
It's really good depth there. Fred VanVleet, too.
Yeah, but VanVleet's been hurt, so that's, I mean, I think that's why.
But now, I mean, when he is healthy, they have three guys.
Yeah. So yeah, I like the Raptors, too. I don't think they get talked about enough because they're kind of boring. But they have OG Anunoby's incredible. He's a really, really good two guard for them. Yeah, I like their team a lot, but that's basically it.
Nice, man. Hey, I'm not going to read off where we're found yet because I got one more thing to say.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. You know, this is just my own head pondering. Just want to go out there and make a statement for everyone listening. I'm a big movie guy. For those of you who don't know, I'm a really big movie guy. Big old movie guy. Just want to publicly say, if Bohemian Rhapsody wins Best Picture on Sunday, I'll cry. Hey, Lockies, if you want to find us on...
What did you just say? Lockies!
Did I just say Lockies?
Let's rewind.
That's not a thing. That is not a thing.
How dare you?
I meant to say listen to the Lockdown Podcast. That was awkward. Hey, you can find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.